The scripture lesson this morning is Luke 14, verses 25 to 33, if you'd like to follow along. The cost of being a disciple. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." The word of God for the people of God.
We're going to turn to our scripture lesson for today from the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament, chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. Hear these words. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. "Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you a message." So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. And so the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. And then the word of the Lord came to me, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warn repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good it had intended to do for it. Now therefore, say to these people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions." Here endeth the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? O Lord, my God, my rock, my redeemer, I praise you once again for the opportunity to stand in this your church, in this your pulpit, to have read your sacred scripture, and now to share my testimony. Now, if my wife were here, she'd say to me, "Why don't you have your glasses on?" And I don't, because I can't figure out which is on and which is off. But I got it now. You know, today's scripture from the book of Jeremiah happens to be probably one of my most favorite passages from the book of the Old Testament. It's got that familiar, lasting image of that divine potter who works with the clay. And in our reference today, works with human clay and shapes it, and molds it, and works it into turning something beautiful. And every time I look at pottery, I have to remember what it took to make this to look like it did. In our home, we have several pieces of pottery that we collected over the years by going to the art fair in Ann Arbor. And one of the things I always love to see is a potter at a potter's wheel trying to make something out of that clay. And what's kind of amazing about that is the different things that can be done to work that clay, to mold it, and to make it into beautiful, beautiful pieces of sculpture and dishes and ware like that. So today we hear in the book of Jeremiah about Jeremiah being prompted to go down to a potter's house. Now it's really important that we understand that doing so, this is God's word to him, is go down to that potter's house and watch what he does with the clay. We have those images in our mind, the potter and the clay, and these are godly words. These are God's images. What I like to do whenever I get something like that in the scriptures, I think it's good to kind of peruse the scriptures and see when and where else does God say things about potters and clay. Well, we've got a first one here in Job chapter 10, verses 9. Remember the story of Job. Now, Job was someone that was, his luck had turned on him, and God had allowed Satan to kind of run amok in his life. And in Job we get this, remember that you molded me like clay. Will you now turn me to dust again? Second reference, if we stay in the book of Job, I am the same as you in God's sight. I am too a piece of clay. Both equally at the same point, a piece of clay where God's hands can come around in shape. Next one is from the book of Isaiah. You turn things upside down as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. So what is formed, say to the one who formed it, you did not make me. Can the pot say to the potter, you know nothing? Continuing on in Isaiah, woe to those who quarrel with their makers, those who are nothing but potsherds among the potsherds of the ground. Does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? Does your work say, the potter has no hands? In Isaiah 64, yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Finally, a reference from Romans. But who are you, a human being, to talk back to God? So what is formed, say to the one who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the might to make out the same lump of clay, some pottery for special purposes and for some common use? So we get this image of God being the potter and we being the clay. So if we go back to this passage, Jeremiah, we know, had been a prophet from a very young age. And he lived about 2,500 years ago in the area of Judah, the tribe of Judah. And there were some things that were going on to give you some background of why God brings this up. You see, that nation of Judah was in exile. They were refugees. They had made some unhealthy and useless political alliances. And so they were conquered. And when we hear this story, this whole nation of people are a refuge and exiled. And God says to his prophet Jeremiah, get off your knees. Get off your knees and go down to the potter's house. And he says, I'm going to teach you how I am. And so Jeremiah does so, and he goes down to that potter's house, and he learns about how God feels about us and how God can work with us and remake us and mold us in what he wants us to be. And the message comes into two parts. First of all, Jeremiah gets these instructions. So here's the instructions. Go down to the potter's house, and there I'll give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel, but the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred. It was maybe spoiled. It maybe had air in it. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. So Jeremiah is given this instruction of, I want you to go down there and see this. And see even the people that have been put into refuge, or the people that have backed themselves into a corner, or maybe the people who need to be saved. So watch what that potter does. Watch how carefully his hands go around that clay, and something beautiful made. And then God gives Jeremiah these words of interpretation. He says this to Jeremiah, can I not do with you, Israel, as the potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hands of the potters, so are you in my hands, O Israel. Like clay in the hands of the potter. Now, Jeremiah was practiced at being an observer since he was a very young age. And so he knows that when he's in that potter's house, he needs to wait on the Lord. And that the Lord is going to show him or tell him something about this intimate relationship that he can lead these people back with. But see, here's the problem. The king at that time, the people at that time, they didn't want to hear what he had to say about God. They didn't want to hear what he had to say about living a life that was pure and unadulterated with God. And so Jeremiah humbles himself and he takes that opportunity to God to go into that shop and try to make that analogy. And we're told in Scripture that when the potter was working at the wheel, there was a problem with the clay. There's a problem with it. It's impure. Maybe it was imperfect, like I said. But what this potter does, he doesn't take it and throw it away. The potter keeps it at the wheel. And he continues to work it, and he continues to smooth it around until it comes into something beautiful. And what happens here is it's the clay and the potter together who shapes this that makes that creation. But ultimately, it is God who knows what it should look like in its entirety. Now, as Jeremiah does this, we have two things that he notices. He notices that the potter is very faithful and constant in what he does. The second thing that he does is the potter knows that he has to change if something isn't forming right. The potter knows that he has to keep his mind open on his pieces of art to change those things when they need to be changed. And I think this is what kind of clicks in for Jeremiah. And so Jeremiah's visit comes to a word of prophecy where we're told that God says to him, you know, if this nation, if this people who are called by my name go astray, but if they turn from their evil ways, they turn from their evil ways, I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to change things. I'm going to make a new life for them. But if they don't, I've got another plan. And they're going to remain in their impurity until they can be worked. But you know, the thing is that really impresses me about this is that no matter what it is, if it's something in our internal character or our external character, God wants our whole life, whatever it is, to shape and to mold. And even when we're called to do difficult things, we need to turn to God so that he can shape and mold us. Now, when you think about creation, let's go back to the book of Genesis. And when God made things in those first 7 days, we're told that God made them, and then he stepped back and said, and this is good. Didn't you say that? This is good. My brothers and sisters, I believe that in the days of Jeremiah and the days of today, I believe that God wants us to wear that title, good. A goodness that will lead to fulfillment, a goodness that will lead to living a life that he has planned for us, a life that is going to fill us with his presence. But you know, here's what happens.
We know as human beings that when we go through life, we make some choices that aren't the best. We know as human beings, sometimes choices beyond our control happen. Maybe it's sickness or illness. Maybe it's the way that we're just kind of given a situation that's cast upon us. And no matter what it is, the message here is that God can take it and mold it and rework it. And so out of these problems, God can make something beautiful. You know, it's interesting because I think sometimes we get so lost in our problems or those things that are affecting our lives that we think there's really no use continuing on, or there's really no use pursuing things because this is the lot that I've been given. And how could anything better, or how could anything happier come of this situation? And so sometimes we're in exile. But it's just those times that I think about this scripture and what God told Jeremiah. Bring yourself down to the potter's house. See those hands up there? Let God put those hands around you. Let God carry you. Let God shape you. Let God mold you. And sometimes when God's hands have to come around us, we've got to just put our hands down, don't we? We've just got to put our hands down, our lives down, and just let Him embrace us. And we don't know what can happen. But through experience, we know that something beautiful can come out of this lump of clay when we give our lives to God and have Him mold. You know, it's interesting because I believe that our life here on earth was meant to be good. And I think if we really step back and look at things, we can see how God has been good to us in so many ways of our lives. The reason why we use that scripture from the gospel today about Jesus and carrying the cross, and if anyone would take up his cross and follow me, those are difficult situations. I love to preach about that. But one of the things is I can't water down what God says when He calls us to follow Him, to take up His cross. What God said to the nation of Judah in Jeremiah about what it's going to take to make a right relationship with Him. And frankly, sometimes I get called aside by people and they say to me, you know, you don't sound the most welcoming. I mean, you make following Jesus Christ seem so hard. She goes, but it's only because I don't want to do all that work. People will say, well, you know, you said this, but I don't want to do that. And I said, well, you know what? It's what's in the scripture. If we're going to follow God, we've got to do it with our whole heart, our whole mind, and our whole being, our soul. Absolutely. There's nothing hard about that. But it's hard sometimes to commit to that. Folks, one of the things that we can't do as a church or as Christians in this world, we need to be this welcoming people, but we can't water down the gospel either. And on the other side of that, while we can't water down the gospel, what we can do is uplift what God will do for us if we would submit to His life, to His will, to His glory. God can shape us and make us. Now, you know what's interesting in the book of Jeremiah and what happened to those people is eventually they got their acts together. Eventually they allowed God to work in and through their lives. And God restored them. God restored them. And who came out of that lineage? Who came out of those people who were exiled? If you think generations on and on, who was born out of that lineage? Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Generations later, was born out of that lineage of people who were in exile. I think of that and I think, well, what are the possibilities? You know, sometimes instead of just giving up and staying in exile figuratively, what are the possibilities if I can turn myself around and I can offer myself as a lump of clay to God and say, God, have thine own way. I love that hymn. How many of you like that hymn? I love that hymn. Have thine own way, Lord. Absolutely. It is probably one of the most powerful hymns that we have in this church. But it's also a hymn of affirmation because anything that befalls us on this earth, God is greater than that. And you know, sometimes I have to pull myself back because I can become kind of anxious about things. You haven't known I can't sit still. Okay? And I like things to happen like this. And sometimes I have to pull back and say, no, maybe it needs to take this pace. But I know that God can take whatever it is. And sometimes you have to sit back and just say, you know what, Lord? Whatever the situation is, I'm just giving it to you. Put your hands around it. Make from it what it needs to be. And I have to sit back like Jeremiah did in that potter's house. Can you imagine him just going down there, watching, observing, and waiting on the Lord? And what happens when a potter works at a wheel, it's amazing because things will start out and then they'll change and they'll change. But what a joy when you see the final piece starting to rise. What a beautiful situation that is. It overwhelms when you see the beauty that can happen. But then what happens? Any of those who you are artists in here, what do we have to do with that piece of clay? We're in the fire, yeah. If we put it in the kiln, or it's fired, or it's tested. The pottery usually comes out of that kiln. Such a beautiful, beautiful creation. So today, as we worship, as we leave this house, I want you to remember the image of the potter. I want you to remember that there is nothing in this world that God cannot take, remold, rework, reshape. There's nothing in your lives, personal, professional, that can go wrong that God cannot make into what he wants from that situation. And sometimes what we have to do, we try to rush in, like I said. We try to do this and make do that, and maybe this will control this. And what we have to do is just lift up our hands and surrender. And if you could use this imagery of when your hands are by your side and you're in open stature, that God has the opportunity to surround you, that God has the opportunity to hug you and carry you and remake whatever it is that he would want for your life. And he gives us that message in the end of the passage today about, we get the bad thing. This is going to go on if you continue acting like that. But the good thing is that when we surrender to his will, to his Holy Spirit, oh, the joy that can flood our souls and all the things that can come of us. I pray today that as you go forth today, that you would know that God loves you, number one. And number two, that God walks with you each and every day. And number three, that each and every one of us have something in our lives constantly that God is kind of putting his hand around and gently guiding us and gently leading us. We hear that in the scriptures. You know, the song that Paul the Worship was for, Psalm 139, "O Lord, you know me, you have searched me, you know when I sit and when I stand." God knows us. He created us, and he will continue to mold and to make us. Now, our challenge is this. Can we get out of the way and allow him to do what he needs to do? Ever had that experience? You just need to get out of the way so God can do what he needs to do. If you're ever in a situation where you're finding yourself so anxious, so stressed, serpent. Think about these things. Think about, maybe I just need to take a step back and let God mean what he needs to do. That's what Jeremiah learned. That's what Jeremiah went back to those people in Judah. And eventually, they were well out of exile. And eventually that great nation that they were to become happened. And it happened because of the coming of Jesus Christ. And the promise that was predicted by the prophets, a message of grace, redemption, love, and power. And so the next time you think, when you see a piece of pottery, it's one of the things that I want you to think about what it took to make that what it is. And think about what it takes for God to make something beautiful out of our lives. It takes us just to sit back and surrender ourselves to him. I'd like to leave you with this songbook from the Perrys, and I hope this just drives home the point today.
I know you're going through the fire. It's getting hard to stand the heat, but even harder is the wondering, is God's hand still on me? It's lonely in the flames when you're counting days of pain, but the potter knows the clay, how much pressure it can take, how many times around the wheel till there's submission to him.
Just went off. Okay. You get the message. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. This technology is amazing when it works. God, our Heavenly Father, you are the potter and we are the clay. God, we ask that you would take us now as we go forward from this house of worship and continue to make each and every one of us what you would have us be. Father, take this church, mold us and make us into what you would have us be. God, take our families. Mold us and make us in what you would have us be. Father, take those situations right now in our lives that we're anxious about, that may be causing us anger, that may be causing us despair or even depression. Take those, Lord. Put those arms around us. You are the potter. We are the clay. Amen.